Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Te Sampratita Smitaya Samutaya Jalatikat. Asansu bismita sarve vikshamana parasparam. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Dhapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham Mayapur, which is Odarya Dham, magnanimity of Vrindavan is Madhurya, intimate love, sweetness. Mayapur is compassion, and Puri is Vipralamba Kshetra, separation. And these are the three moods of full-heartedness. And Krishna means God in full-heartedness, God who is not holding anything back, God as your friend, God as your lover, God as your child. So these are the three moods of Swayam Bhagavan, when God is himself. And they each have a benediction. In Vrindavan, you get love of Godhead by the dust. In Mayapur, by the kirtan. And in Puri, by the prasad, the Jagannath prasad. So I come here every day, every year, and I give class. Generally, every evening I give class, and I see many people that I know, and some people also from the West will become visiting me here. So, nice to be here. I have wonderful quarters, wonderful. I look at my room, I can see the yoga pit, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. I'm probably a 10-15 minute walk from there. And you really feel the energy. And it's quite relaxing to me here also. I get really, the care is so nice. Okay, let's get to this 10th canto, which is really the full vision of Vyasadeva when he meditated in bhakti yoga without any distraction to see the ultimate reality. This is what he saw. He saw Krishna exchanging with his energies, his internal potency, which is placed in the hearts of those who are pure. And that's the goal of our life, is to be pure. And pure means Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma. Our only desire is Anukuyena Krishna Anu. Our only desire is to serve Krishna, to follow Krishna, to be ruled by his will. Out of love, it's not a rule that's imposed upon one. It's a rule that one submits to. There's a difference. Love is voluntary, but you're ruled. You're ruled by the desire, you're a beloved. And then you can be ruled by the oppression and power of someone else. But there's no happiness in that, because there's no love. So these are the stories of Krishna eternally being and his devotees that are mutually ruled by each other's love. And there is Leela, or the drama, the divine drama, that accentuates the explosion of the different bhavas or emotions that create the love that is enjoyed mutually. It's love that's enjoyed, and Leela, the drama of which there are participants of Krishna and his devotee, they share that love that is manifest. Manifest, not created, but invoked within the hearts of all. And the dramas, the stories, the dramas and descriptions of that spiritual world are so composed that when you hear them with the right attitude of service, because that's what they inspire. Unless you have that attitude or mood of service, you won't yourself see and appreciate the love and service that is presented within them. And when you hear them, that same mood of the protagonists in the ultimate reality drama of love, that naturally comes to your heart or creates the desire in your heart to have that. And this is how one develops Raganuga Bhakti. You hear about this love, and when you're sufficiently purified in heart and sufficiently inspired in good association, and maybe even have a little purva samskara, impressions from other lives that are building up, then hearing this will be most inspirational, and you will feel the same things that the people in the divine ultimate reality drama are feeling. And if you hear them with some type of faith in the mood, as Prabhupada taught us, to approach it with reverence and respect as something very high and not cheap, something that we don't barge into, but we're allowed admission into by our attitude, then even if you have some desires, but you have sincere faith, then something will come to you and you may become inspired. Without it, you won't become inspired. This is the method. So here in this particular story, Krishna's friends, by daiva, by divine arrangement, because the pastimes are composed perfectly and inspirationally by Krishna's energies to simultaneously invoke the highest love and to create the proper understanding in the audience that will invoke that love. So the cowherd boys, Krishna's wandering around Vrindavan. Now that he's of age, he can take the cows. Before he had the calves, and when he take the cows, he can poganda, he can go out to the forest, which will facilitate a deeper rapport or relationship, because now he's free to frolic with his friends, and even there's starting to begin some exchanges with the gopis, and he's less inhibited and more mature being away from home. And we're at the part where the cowherd boys, extremely thirsty as Krishna is frolicking around Vrindavan as his service, as his ashram, the cowherd boy, and they graze cows, and therefore they have to, and a lot of it's in the forest of Vrindavan, they're forest cows too, and they become very thirsty to such an extent, uncharacteristically, because Vaishnav is not self-centered. He's centered on God. And therefore, out of love, he's focused on the pleasure of God and not himself. And therefore, it'd be unheard of for someone to have love to eat before one whom he loves. That's just not the desire. Mother eats after the children because she loves the children. What kind of mother? She comes in and the children come into the kitchen and the mother's already eating her dinner. And the kids have to wait until she's finished. You question, what kind of love is that? So it would be uncharacteristic for the devotees who have the highest love. And this is also a lesson to us. We take prasadam. We take the remnants of Krishna. That's what's so nice about a deity. Deity in the right consciousness does that. It puts God in the center, which is his rightful place. And the place which allows us to experience love. We never experience love when we win a sports game and when our fingers are in the air and we're number one, we're number one, we're number one. We experience love when someone else is in the center besides ourselves. That's why we do parikrama, to put the body where we want the mind to go, outside of the center, around the center, focused on the center, loving the center, giving prominence to the center. But somehow they go forward by daiva, by divine arrangement for the pastime. Krishna doesn't like people who, Vrajavas, who live in Vrindavan to disturb others. He likes people who live in Vrindavan to serve others. And that's the consciousness of Vrindavan. That's the consciousness of spiritual life. Again, when you have a deity, The kitchen is not for your enjoyment. It's for Krishna. It's for Krishna. Things are for Krishna. And Krishna is the center. That's our constitutional position. That's harmony. That's meaning. That's nourishment. It's love. But uncharacteristically, the cowherd boys being so thirsty by divine rain, they go first. And that's just saying, Brajavas. So living in Vrindavan is just service. It's not to disturb others. And therefore, those who disturb others, Krishna generally removes them from Vrindavan. So there's a certain consciousness in Vrindavan. You have to not come there in a selfish mood, because once you come in a selfish mood, there is a tendency to exploit others. It's hard to practice ahimsa perfectly if you have desires. So Vrindavan means you're at your best. That's what Prabhupada said, 3 days or 3 years. You're at your best. Because you don't want to disturb others in Vrindavan. You want to serve others in relationship to Krishna. Vrindavan is for service. I know I've been in Vrindavan many years, but why am I in Vrindavan? It's not an extended pilgrimage. I'm there because my service fortunately brings me there. And I'm conscious of that. I'm conscious my service is that no one should come to Vrindavan and miss Vrindavan because they approach it from the wrong perspective and in the wrong attitude. My main service. There's one service I have that's more important than others, it's that. So now this demon is coming there, not for service, but to exploit. That's why it says you have to be very... Gorkishore Das Babaji, you know, he said you can't own a grain of dust in Vrindavan. Be very, very careful to build your house in Vrindavan. I've seen very, very often that when someone builds a house in Vrindavan, they wind up not staying in Vrindavan because it's the wrong consciousness. I know I'm with Jagadish and Yugala, and they have a very nice place. And what I like about it is it's only on 20% of the land, and he had a partner doing it with that was a Swiss Army engineer. It's like perfectly constructed, 6 apartments, no apartment faces. You pass another, each have separate doors. It's brilliantly constructed. I remember Jagadish was speaking to Borijan, he mentioned my home. Borijan said, your home? Your home? He had to correct himself. It's Krishna's home. In fact, that's one thing very nice about Indian culture, the remnants of Indian culture that is there. The way they treat a guest. The way they treat a guest. It's not, the West does not have that same thing. Even people that live, Indians that live in the West, their honor to have guests is so much higher. Because there's the concept of Atithi Bhagavan, that the guest is God. And they really are in the consciousness, it's not my home. It's not my home. It's part of the Indian culture to feel that way. The sense of possessiveness. So Kali is coming to Vrindavan to make his home. And therefore exert control over his environment to move it according to his desire. An environment And that's a disturbance because it's Krishna's home. You don't go into someone's home and use it for your own. So anyway, Krishna's going to banish this Kaliya serpent, and the principle is not really to harm others unless they harm you first. And Krishna wants to make it very apparent why he has to ban Kaliya, how dangerous Kaliya is, and his friends faint, and then Krishna comes there, and actually he sees his friends dead. In fact, it's so horrible a scene that I may have repeated this last week, but I don't remember what I repeated or not. But it's such a horrible scene that when Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the pastime, he can't really explain some of the things in depth. Like he just says the condition of the cowherd boys. He doesn't go into any vivid detail because it's just too intense to explain to Maharaj Prickett. And therefore, he addresses him in different ways. And one way he addresses him here at the very beginning is Rajan, which means, O King, trying to bolster his energy and his courage to hear this. And then also Rajan means very beautiful, because in this particular pastime, Krishna simultaneously knowing that what's going to happen that day, doesn't wear as much clothes and jewelry, and his body is maximum exposed. So Rajan also means attractive, letting him know how attractive Krishna will be. And he knows that the Nagapatnis, after he subdues Kaliya, are going to bestow jewels upon him. So he doesn't wear jewels, but still Rajan means effulgent. In fact, when Radharani comes every day to Nandagaon to cook for Krishna, and Mother Yasoda greets her, she takes off all her ornaments, which are called alankar. She has so much jewelry. But it's described that avaram means the markings on her face, the sindu and the bindi and the markings, they're even more beautiful. Her natural beauty. So anyway, they die, and Krishna, he loves his friends who are swanatam. They know no one but Krishna as their master. And that type of relationship, their friendship, but they've taken shelter of their friend. That power that they see in him does not cover their friendship. It doesn't make it reverential, but at the same sense, they have that sense that dependence on him, you can depend on your friend. They have that dependence. And when someone is dependent, it invokes kindness and love. Kindness and love. And Krishna cries. And it's the heart of his compassion that gives the cowherd boys life. And they regain their full consciousness. And just as they're coming to full consciousness, better than just being saved by Krishna. Krishna is standing directly in front of them. And they have an astonishment of what happened, this regaining of life. A mutual is astonishment, and they're looking at one another, and they're sharing their astonishment, and they're sharing their love, and that shared bliss is rasa, one form of rasa. It's very ecstatic because it helps overcome the limited concept of I, the egotistical concept of I, that I'm the center. So it's experience without ego. Because you're not ground, you're having a shared experience. It's not, it's an experience that's beyond just your production of it. It's something there that you're sharing. And it's out of, and the experience is in great love of this mercy. Now, I was listening to something today. Someone sent me something they wanted me to hear by a social philosopher. And he gave a very, this is a little side point, but it's something I want to develop in the future. He basically gave an argument for the existence of evil not being contrary to the existence of God. And he made this interesting distinction between tragedy and evil, that, if I can remember this, it'll be really good. So he said evil has a lack of necessity and volunteering, something imposed upon you. It's not needed. And I'm not going to be able to explain this, but he made a point that without vulnerability, there's no exchange of love. It's an interesting concept. Without vulnerability, there's no concept of love. And therefore, part of our necessity of our being is to be limited. Anyway, that's something else. But anyway, let's go on. Andavam satatadrajan govindanugrahekshitam pitvavisham paretasya puna utanam atmana. O king, the cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk poison and in fact had died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives and stood up by their own strength. Spiritual indebtedness. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of Dainuka, the Ass Demon. Text 1 of chapter 16. Sri Suka Uvacha Balokya Dushitam Krishnam Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu Tasyavashudhem Anvichan Sarpam Tad Udavasayat. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Jamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, decided to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it. King Pritchett inquired, O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead chastised the serpent Kaliya within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna, and how it was that Kali had been living there for so many ages. So Pritchett is hearing the pastimes, and he wants to understand them in depth. And this is one of the symptoms of love. There are 9 visible symptoms of bhava, and one of them is the... two of them. One is the enthusiasm to chant the glories of the Lord, and one is the inquisitiveness about the places of Krishna's pastimes. And I'm also feeling this in actually telling this story, and it'll be reading this story, and it'll become more apparent later that the details of it increase the relish, because they increase the setting and the picture and the understanding of what's happening. There's 2 things in meditation. One is called mantra upasana and one is called swadasiki. Mantra upasana is that sometimes verses paint a picture of Krishna's pastime. So there'll be verses in the Bhagavatam that will paint a picture that will be inspirational to you, because it's a picture of love. Just like I have here above the desk here, there's 2 pictures. One is Radha walking through the fields with a pot of water on her shoulders. She has cascading black hair and a braid. She has a braid that's, weaved. That's very, very beautiful with white flowers in that braid and a wreath of pink and white flowers on her head. And there's just so many descriptions there, and there's beautiful details, and her blue sari and red shawl. And Mekala, she has a belt, and I see she's carrying a peacock feather for Krishna. And there's different details. Then there's another picture. It's from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita when I believe the protagonist comes to the spiritual world and meets Krishna, and he's hugging Krishna. And the Jamuna is in the background, and palaces, and the gopis are there, and cows, and... But, you know, there's verses that paint pictures. And the pictures are an expression of a mood of intense love. The picture paints the mood of intense love. So verses do that. So, naturally, a devotee is eager to hear the details, because everything serves as udipan. Udipan is something that inspires love, just like Krishna's peacock feather, or I see his ankle bells here in the picture, and his pearl necklace. And actually, this picture's above my thing, but I've never studied it as deeply as I do now. Which shows you that perception is dependent on attention. It's a point I make. But looking at it, you can feel the bhav, because that's what an artist does. It's inspiration, perspiration, inspiration. You have an initial inspiration, and if you're very expert, you can create that inspiration in another medium, whether it's poetry or writing or art or music, with the express purpose that the person who is appreciating your art will feel the inspiration that initially inspired you to make it. So every detail in that composition in that writing, in that painting, in that verse, every detail is part of that communication to help you experience love to the fullest. So naturally, Maharaj Prickett's inquiring more. O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead chastised the Kaliya serpent within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna, and how is it that Kali had been living there for so many ages? O Brahman, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead freely acts according to his own desires. Who can be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? Because you can't be satiated because it's love. And the nature of love, you see, hunger and food, this is from the Shikshastakam, it's a point that's developed there, but hunger and food diminish one another. The more you're hungry, the less you want food. The more you have food, the less you become hungry. But the opposite happens. In terms of prema and hunger for prema, they enhance one another. So the more love you have, the more hunger you have for it. So you never become satiated. There's not a question that you can ever become full. You can become satisfied but never satiated because it's so dynamic. And you know, you experience that. I'm in Mayapur. When I'm in a holy place, especially when I'm in a holy place, I love to continue it when I'm not, but I like to chant more. And bhakti, sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti increases bhakti. The result of chanting is more chanting. The more chanting I do, the more relish I have for it. This is just a fact. When you chant a lot, you have more relish for the chanting, and if you continue it, you'll get more relish. It's just a fact. It's how it works. Because it is a food that increases your hunger. So same thing, when you're hearing the pastimes of Krishna, the nectar of his udhara, magnanimous charitam pastimes, and performs a coward boy, you don't become satiated. Rather, you want more. And that's exactly what happened to the sages of Naimisharanya when they were at the sacrifice. Exactly what happened to them. They were getting tired from the yajna, which is karma. And there's some result for it. So the activity itself is not pleasurable. Bhakti, sasukam kartam avyam, it's joyfully performed. Because you don't do bhakti to attain something, you do bhakti for bhakti. So the pleasure is in the activity and not the result of the activity. You do karma, you become satiated. But they realize, hearing about Krishna, there's no satiation. And that's famous verse, yatrinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. What is that? No. Yatrinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu. Chiptatma uttama shloka It's Shinvata. What is that? You chiptatma uttama. Anyway, you never become tired. So now Sukadeva Goswami, he's narrating this, so he continues, Sukadev. Kalindyam kalayasya sad prada kaschit vishagdima shapyamana payasmin patantyu pari ghakavai. See, Sukadeva Goswami said, within the river Kalindi, Jamuna was a lake inhabited by the serpent Kali, whose fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. Indeed, the vapors thus created were so poisonous that birds flying over the contaminated lake would fall down within it. So, this is the... So it's boiling because the poison is a gas. It's poison gas that comes from the snake's mouth. And gas is also fire. You don't see it, but you light it with a match and it explodes. So it has a kind of heat within it. And it's bubbling the lake with a deadly poison, and the birds overhead. The wind blowing over that deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shores. Simply by coming in contact with the poisonous breed, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. Purport, the word sthira, unmoving creatures, refers to various types of vegetation, including trees. And jangama refers to moving creatures such as animals, reptiles, birds, and insects. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted a further description of this lake from the Sri Hari Vamsa. The lake was quite wide, 8 miles across at some point, and even the demigods could not cross over it. The water in the lake was very deep, and like the immovable depths of the ocean, could not be agitated. Approaching the lake was difficult, for its shores were covered with holes in which serpents lived. All around the lake was a fog generated by the fire of that serpent's poison, and this powerful fire would at once burn up every blade of grass that happened to fall into the water. For a distance of 8 miles from the lake, the atmosphere was most unpleasant. Srila Sanatana Goswami states that by the mystical science of Jalstamba, making solid items out of water, Kali had built his own city within the lake, so that's called City Yoga. City Yoga. The mysticism of creating cities in the water. Lord Krishna saw how the Kali serpent had polluted the Jamuna River with his terribly powerful poison. Since Krishna had descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the top of a very high kadamba tree and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and then jumped into the poisonous water. So some of the commentators have a very interesting take, because there's a certain bhav that they're looking at it. And some say he didn't immediately climb the tree, but after his friends had died, he took them home. And the next day, they were playing, and Krishna, they played a game. And they played a game, and the game was, it's interesting, that one boy would stay near a tree, and then he would bow down, and he'd have a little stick. And then with his stick, he would, another boy would stand next to him and he would throw the stick, bending down backwards through his legs as far as he could, and start climbing the tree, while the other boy ran to get the stick and get the stick before the other boy can climb up high enough to touch him. And then that boy was out, and they'd do something. And then if he couldn't capture that boy, then he had to chase the other boys or something like that. But anyway, they were climbing trees, and Krishna said that this tree is not really substantial tree. There's a bigger tree by the Jamuna. And he took his friends to the Jamuna, and everything, it's described this kind of ghastly scene, how the serpent had polluted Vrindavan, and therefore was living there, harming others. We have to be very careful not to pollute the Dham. Fortunately, there's a new chief minister of UP who's a sannyasi. He's a yogi. His name is Yogi Adityanath. And they're actually starting to make leeway in Vrindavan, you're all pleased to know. I know in the Govardhan, they cut off traffic from that road that, it's an incredible place. It's by Dangati. When you're going around Govardhan Prakram, you walk through the town and you have to make a left at Dangati, and there's a narrow road. And people there do Dandavat Prakrams. And when it's crowded, and it gets crowded, cars have to make a left turn. Oh, cars have to make... kind of a turn to get in there. And then if you're getting out, you have to cross the traffic and make a right-hand turn. And then trucks, and then there's rickshaws there, and it's impossible. They actually closed that off. And there's a wider Prakram path around Govardhan Hill, which extends a half kilometer past the present Prakram path, where Sanatana Goswami used to walk every day. And they're going to build a ring road around Govardhan. So hopefully they'll keep the traffic out, which is thing. They've also banned plastic bags in Vrindavan now, gradually. And they're working on other things. But anyway, this pollution of Vrindavan, I remember one time the Vrindavan Saint Ramesh Baba, this Vrindavan Saint Ramesh Baba, who's fought the mining companies who were destroying the hills of Braj. In fact, he went there one day in protest to fast until death. And he has many disciples, and especially young children. And these young girls, they started to fast to death, even though they were told not to. And somehow or other, the whole scene that was created, I remember Satchinandana Swami went there too, the whole scene that was created, they actually won. The government had to ban the mining from destroying all the beautiful hills of Braj. Demons. And then I remember I was at a function and ISKCON was there and Ramesh Baba spoke, and he spoke so impassionately. And he was singing songs of the Kaliya serpent and how the Kaliya serpent polluted Vrindavan and how he was banned. And so anyway, So Krishna had to do something about it. And this tree had the premonition that Krishna would come, or some people say he touched it. But the tree was infused with energy and was still beautiful. And Krishna climbed up to the top. Initially, remember that it said that he went without Balaram. That was also Daiva. That was also destiny. Because if he went with Balaram, Balaram would have never climbed that tree. And he went to the very top, and there was just a branch that was not very sturdy, but Krishna used it as a springboard to cause maximum, you know, force of him going to, and he manifests his Aishvarya Shakti, and he comes into the water and creates a powerful force. After all, the water is unfathomably deep and it's 8 miles long, so it takes something to disturb it, and Kali is disturbed. Material consciousness means territorial. It means territorial. Not a titi Bhagavan, the guest is God, but very, very territorial. Because demoniac means I want to be the enjoyer. And you can't be the enjoyer or have the concept of enjoyment. Have the concept of enjoyment without wanting to control. Control is necessary. Power is necessary. Because the concept of enjoyment is control. It means things are lined up around me according to my desires. That's what the controller is. And therefore, this demoniac consciousness is very much invested in territory and control. That's why the six Goswamis, they were glorified as Dira, Dira, Janapio, Piyakaro, Nimatsaro, Pujitao. They were dear to both the gentle and the ruffians because they weren't envious of anyone. They didn't have the territorial consciousness. That's why the last stage of life, one is wandering in the forest, because there's no conception of control, and it's healthy for the consciousness. We have needs to make us peaceful, and the same needs that make us peaceful at a particular time have to be renounced. The demon has that consciousness. And therefore, he's ready to fight. He gets so angry if there's anyone who apparently is trying to move or control one's territory. Just like if you know in New York on Third Avenue, where Adi used to have his bed and breakfast, and between his door and the next door, which was the Hell Angels, a bench. By God, if someone sat on that bench, it was like war. I mean, they had such a sense of territory. That's why animal propensities are what? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Defending. So we'll continue some other time. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Would anyone like to say?
Wonderful. Is that It's a wonderful class, Maharaj. Thank you very much. It's Henry.
Henry, thank you. Great. Anybody else like to say hello? It's always nice to know that the message got through. Or
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Tota Gopinath here. Tota, we'll see you soon. It's coming right up. You will be here soon.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question.
Yes.
The question is the second question that Parikshit asked. How is it that Kaliya has been living in these waters for so many years before he, and I'm adding, before he was banished?
I guess we'll have to wait. That'll be answered. That's the question that'll be asked. But he was, I remember snakes are afraid of Garuda, and he's banished. I'll have to look it up. I don't know that offhand, but it's a nice question. Thank you. Okay.
Here's
anybody
what I'm
else
thinking.
Like that?
Okay.
Yes?
I was thinking, it seems similar to how far Ravana was allowed to go, or Hiranyakashipu was allowed to do so much damage before he was finally killed.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, things move in so many ways to support the Leela. And, you know, and in the same sense, for so many years, what does it mean, so many years? What's the concept of time in the spiritual world? It's not historical in that sense. It's eternal. So it's hard for us to impose our conceptions of history on those type of events, because every single one of those events is happening at the same time. So it's never a time that it's not happening. So what's historical? So it's almost eternally there and eternally not there at the same time. So it's different realities fit within the same space. So I don't know if we, you know, history, why is for the purpose of Leela. But once it's Leela, then it's eternally manifest. So there's not a time where Krishna is not dancing on the Kaliya serpent's hoods. And there's not a time where he's not banished either. So I think it's another dimension. But I think the answer is, I don't know the exact historical or what's presented in there. I'll have to see. We know he was banished there, and that the reason he took shelter there, you know, is to be free. There was something with Garuda that Garuda couldn't. Oh, Garuda, that's right. Garuda was banned from there for some particular reason. I forgot why Garuda was banned from he was banned from the Jamuna. I forgot why. Something with Savari Muni. I forgot exactly why, but he was banned, and therefore Kaliya took shelter there. So I don't remember the rest and justification after that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, it's Stephanie in Washington.
Stephanie, was that Stephanie in Washington?
Yes, Stephanie.
Yes.
And Vikram, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thanks, nice. Good. Great, you're regular. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
This is who?
Kishori Radha.
Say that
Kishori Radha.
Hi,
and Priya.
Yeah, I know who this is. And Priya, yeah. Thank you. Good. Okay. Great. Anybody else?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class.
Who's that?
This is Tatiana.
Oh, Tatiana, we'll see you soon, too. Great. Okay. In Mayapur. Good. And Vajradhe, who else is there?
Hi, Bol Maharaj, it's Janine.
Who?
Janine.
Oh, Janine, Hari Bol. Wow, we got a big Hari Sunday Bol. Crowd. Thank you. Good. Anybody else? Okay. I'm
Hi.
Kind of... Hi, Bill. Who's that?
Hi, this is
Who's the last one that said hello? Who?
Kaylee Kadamba.
Oh, Kaylee Kadamba. So nice to hear from you. Thanks for coming on. That's great. Great. Good. Wonderful. All right. I'm gonna Kaylee Kadamba is Karuna Purna's daughter, so that's nice. Okay. I'm going to head out now. Hare Krishna. Anchakalpa, Dhrubhisak, Basindhu Vivaj.